Okay, so from when we ended up returning from Iraq, a lot of people were moving here and there. They did their deployment. It was time to PCS to another place. I ended up coming down on orders for Korea. Okay. Again, this time I went to Camp Greaves, Korea. It was in, up north, just south of the DMZ. It was across the river, and we were about the only, the last base there, really. They changed me from 11 Mike, mechanized infantry, okay, to 11 Bravo. 11 Bravo typically walk where they go. When I got to Camp Greaves, we were ended up being air assault. And I was in 1st of the 506th Infantry Regiment and under 2nd ID. Air assault up there. Anytime we moved anywhere, we'd go in helicopters, Black Hawk helicopters. That was awesome. It was great. And I loved that part. Did about 4 or 5 months there. Then we came down on orders to go back to Iraq. So this unit's going to Iraq now. There was only a handful of us at our unit that had been to Iraq already. And most of them had not, because it was still a new war.
What were you thinking that you knew you had to go back there?
I was like, crap, not again. But it wasn't bad the first time because we had the upper hand.
Yeah.
Okay. These next two times are different, totally different. We were able to go on leave a week or 2 weeks to go back to the United States, see our family again. And then back to Korea. From Korea, we flew out to Kuwait. Everybody goes to Kuwait. If you're going to Iraq, you go to Kuwait first. That's okay. Where you do your acclimation training, and then you move into Iraq.
Gotcha.
To your units.
How long were you in Iraq the second time?
Second time was a year, and we were stationed in Hodeidah, Iraq. It's next to an air base, still on the Euphrates River. It's in between Fallujah and Ramadi. Our mission there was to provide route security, again, on the highway, and to, also clear the bad guys out. We'd have a rotation. We'd have top security. We'd have AHA security, which is ammo holding area. There was a big Iraqi ammo storage area not far away, and we'd rotate out. And that's where a lot of the bad guys, they would come in at night, and they would steal the artillery rounds.
Oh,
take them out, and that's what they made their IEDs with. And then the third mission we had was route security, which was you end up, we were in two-man teams, and we had Humvees at the time.
Okay.
And we'd have a certain area, 4 kilometers that we had to cover, you know, each team.
Mm-hmm.
So it was nothing but, you know, going up the road, take a pause, search something, up the road. You just wanted to show, hey, you're out there. Make sure nobody's putting IEDs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a 4-lane road with a median in the middle.
Okay.
And it was all sand. And we just roll up, roll down, and kind of secure the area. And my buddy Steve Yoon, spent a lot of hours doing that stuff. And you'd do it. You'd be out there maybe 6 hours at a time.
I see.
And then you rotate out through your platoon. So that's when we had our first big wake-up call. We ended up, me and Steve, we took this halt on the side of the road. We were off the road, backed up to some houses, buildings, and we were kind of like in a V with our vehicles facing out.
I see. Okay.
Okay, so he was facing north, I was facing south, roughly. We weren't there very long, and then this car came driving. It came driving right into the center of us and blew up. It actually blew up slightly early. It hit a bunch of bumps, and when it blew up, it kind of, the remainder of it flipped over and landed on my vehicle, on my Humvee, and somehow the Humvee started on fire. There was no casualties. Everybody got blown to the ground.
Oh.
Everybody was fine, great. So much dust, dirt, you can't see nothing, you can't hear nothing, just ringing.
Oh my goodness.
Go looking around, hollering for people, left, right, where are you at? Steve's vehicle, we were able to pull him out. I got my driver out of the vehicle, my gunner got out, and it just happened so quick that the gunners didn't even have time to do anything.
To react.
So we finally got them out, got what we could out of the vehicle, but it wasn't much because that thing was already starting on fire. So the vehicle caught on fire. We grabbed whatever fire extinguishers we could find. That didn't work. There was just, once the fire was going, there was no stopping it. got out, got into alleyway. I was told before that one of my soldiers, a PFC Lopez, the last he saw me was by my commander's door, the passenger door. And what happened is, when he was kind of trying to get away a little bit before this thing blew, right when it blew,
yeah,
it blew up, and one of the suicide bomber's legs actually hit him in the butt. But he saw another leg wrapped around a light pole, and he went running after it.
Unreal.
And one of the other soldiers called back. He thought it was my leg, so he was going to go, because last time he saw me was over in that area. So he thought it was me. So he went to go get the leg, and another soldier got him back and said, no, over there. So we ended up getting back, and got back in the alleyway. I had Steve, he was pulling security up north, and called up. We had some tanks that were down south a little bit. They came up and kind of helped pull security, and which was good, because what they were doing, there was three guys down this alleyway. They were already planning like a counterattack. They want to kind of finish it off a little bit. So tanks went down there, and they got rid of those three guys, and we ended up getting rides back, and we went through. It was great. We didn't have any casualties for that. Okay, so it took a little bit. We were able to get another vehicle later on, and a few months later, me and Steve are out again, doing the same thing on the road. Now this time, we got hit with a platter charge IED, so the unit thinks. Okay, platter charge IED is, from my understanding, it's just like a round plate, metal plate.
Okay.
And what it does, it shoots out and it just shoots flat. Okay, so what happened was, we were driving down the road. At that time, you kind of try to drive, you know, as fast as a Humvee would go, based on traffic, because you kind of want to outrun the IED, trigger man at the time.
Okay.
Well, it didn't work. It hit my driver's door, shattered the door. It bent the steering wheel completely in half. It broke my driver's arms, both of his arms, his legs, his pelvis, and his ribs. And he was unconscious.
Oh, my goodness.
So when we got hit, Steve was behind me. You see nothing. You smell the gunpowder. You smell. You feel the heat. And there's nothing but dirt. You can't see nothing. So we get going. He can't drive. McDonald can't drive. Mm-hmm. I see that we're going. We're still going at a high rate of speed, but we're slowing down. Off to the right, there's an embankment. We start veering off towards that. When I see we're not slowing down, I, you know, kind of brace myself a little bit. We ended up rolling over. Roll over, hit the embankment, roll over, what I was told, about four times. On the first roll, my gunner, hatch on top, he sits on top.
Okay.
You know, through the hole. What Steve said on the first roll, the gunner, when we rolled over, the gunner stayed on the ground and we kept rolling.
No.
I talked to Velasquez, he was my gunner. He said he had to run to catch up to us. Anyway, we had two casualties out of there. PFC McDonald, he's my driver, and my one of my team leaders, Centeno. He was Sergeant Centeno. And what happened, had small windows. The glass was 4 to 5 inches thick. When that blew, it blew the glass in and hit him in the eye. So he had eye damage. So we had to get them evacuated out. But we ended up, when we finished rolling, we were on the commander's side, the passenger side, and everybody climbed out through the gunner's hatch.
Okay.
Now, the only person in the vehicle that was wearing a seatbelt was the driver. We get out, and they're like, hey, where's McDonald? McDonald was still in there. It, you know, this happened real quick.
Uh-huh.
Gotta get McDonald. So we go climb up on top. So we had to go in there and cut him out, pulled him out, got the medevacs called up and got everybody back, and everybody was checked out, and McDonald was sent over to the air base, and Centeno was sent over to the air base, and they ended up going back to Germany, and then eventually back to the States.
Back home.
From there, I had gotten actually selected for promotion to Sergeant First Class. So they had something new going on. They were starting to train up the Iraqi Army. They're bringing them back. So we had a mission. We had to supply some people. We needed E7, E6, and E5. So I ended up going over there with a couple guys and starting to train and help facilitate the training of this new Iraqi army.
Okay.
And we'd do a little training, a little coordination, teach them how to do this, that, and everything. A lot of the people that were in this Army had already been in the Army. So they had an idea what was going on. So you had people that liked Saddam Hussein, some people that didn't. Mm-hmm. So we did what we could with them. We'd go on different missions with them, and it was challenging, very challenging.
Wow.
You know, yeah. some of the soldiers, they just wanted a paycheck. They didn't want to do nothing.
That is a challenge because you're trying to train these people.
Yeah. But, it was an experience again. And then once deployment was over, then went ahead and again went back to Fort Carson. Once you get back from a deployment, you go through reintegration training. So you go and learn how to reinteract with the civilian life, with the families, lots of training, how to treat people, a lot of understanding. So, and then we were able to go on leave. So everybody goes on leave, unit shuts down. About a year later, then it comes time to deploy again. So this time, went to Iraq, and we ended up going to Baghdad this time in the Eldora district, just south of the Door Market, which is where all the headquarters, the embassies, and the safe zone of Baghdad.
About what year are we in at this point?
The deployment was from 2006 to 2007.
Okay.
And very, very bad area where we're at. Mm. So a few months into it, we took our first casualty. And what happened, they were doing a patrol with another platoon and an RPG. He was, this particular unit was the trail vehicle. Okay. And what happened is the enemy shot a RPG. It fell short, but it hit underneath the vehicle. When it hit underneath the vehicle, it blew up, and it blew shrapnel up through the vehicle. It severed his artery, my driver's artery.
Oh.
Kyle Bornson. He was just a PFC, young kid, and he was driving for one of my team leaders. He was bleeding out pretty good. And one of the last things he said, I looked at Sergeant Bush, he said, "I think this is bad." And he went unconscious and bled out before they could get him out. Real good kid.
That had to be just a...
It was a big shock to everybody. Our unit has taken casualties previously, but this was the first one for our platoon. Mm-hmm. You know, me as a platoon sergeant.
And you being newly promoted and unreal things, and we have no clue.
Yeah. So going through a deployment, we probably got hit. My vehicle probably got hit 5 times by IEDs total. Then came 4th of July. Our mission, we were kind of the quick reactionary force.
Okay.
And our mission at the time, we lived out in one of the Mahalas. We occupied a building, our company. It had walls around it and everything. So we lived out in the community with them. We had porta potties out there. One of our missions, we had to go up to the green zone, escort the porta potty truck to come empty the porta potties. 4th of July, 2007. I grab my 4 vehicles, and we go up to the green zone, pick up this porta potty truck, escort it back to where we're living, and he does his job. We go to escort him back. So we are on the way back, probably 200-300 meters from the house and where we're living, and somebody threw a grenade, a certain type of grenade. It went right through the gunner's armor. It hit one of my gunners. He was in the trail vehicle. And it took his head off from the chin up.
Oh, you're kidding.
Didn't make a whole lot of mess, but it was instant death. PFC Davis, Stephen Davis. I was in the second vehicle. He was in the 4th vehicle. So I get a call. We hear the boom, get a call. Hey, Sergeant Paulson, we need a medic back here. So the medic always rides with the platoon sergeant. Okay. I had the medic with me. Took him back there and look in there. And Davis is just slumped down in his gunner sling. There was nothing but his lower jaw and nothing above it. So we went there and called it up. And I actually had to go back up the road a little bit. His helmet was up there, laying in the middle of the road. No damage to it, no nothing, except for his chin strap was broken. Got back, put him in a body bag, continued up. I called it up. Hey, we got one KIA. Got back and got him up to, back up to the green zone to the hospital. And this is where it got hard. His brother was in the Army. His brother was in Iraq also.
Okay.
But his mom was a civilian contractor working in Baghdad too.
Wow.
Previously, we had gone to lunch with her as a platoon, and we got to meet her. Her name is Tess, a real nice lady. But that was a hard call for the commander. Commander had to call Tess and let her know, hey, your son had passed away. And so we got him up to the hospital up in the green zone, and she was able to come back, and she and I identify him from his uniform and his dog tags.
Yeah, and I'm sure that you, I mean, you had to hold it together because you had a job to do.
Yeah, you definitely have to hold it together because you got younger soldiers, you know, who are looking up to you and looking for guidance. And you break down, they're going to break down, you know, and,
right.
and, you know, possibly lose confidence in you also, you know, as a leader, you know, are you competent to, you know, continue to lead, whatever. I don't know. And then, yeah, there was different casualties here and there. We took two more casualties within the company while we were there. But, yeah, that one is really, really hits home, especially being on the 4th of July. Davis, he, young kid, he was probably 19, 20, 21 years old, had a wife, a young baby, and they were pregnant, had another one on the way. So that was only, we were only a few months from leaving Iraq.
When this happened?
Yeah. Left Iraq, went back to Fort Carson. Redeployed back to Fort Carson. Was there for a few months. And then I came down on reassignment to Fort Bragg, North Carolina. And at that time, I was going to go to an ACRC unit. It's an active component, reserve component. And what our mission was, we train National Guard units that are getting ready to deploy to Afghanistan.
Okay.
We get back to Fort Bragg, and we go ahead and reconsolidate our stuff, and we do our retraining, and then get ready for the next unit. And then it came time, I got promoted again to E8, Master Sergeant, and that actually happened beginning of my tour in North Carolina.
Okay.
At that time, I was almost 22 years in and decided, well, it was time to retire. Also, at the same time, our unit was getting reassigned as a whole unit. We were leaving Fort Bragg and going to base in Wisconsin. Okay, so means I was, me and a few other people getting, you know, PCSing different units, people retiring. We didn't move with our unit. We stayed there at Fort Bragg, and then we went through our out processing and ended up retiring out of in 2012. They had to get rid of these people,
right.
So yeah.
So, but
I'll take what I got.
One more question: if you would ever encounter somebody that was thinking of going into the military, is there one piece of advice that you would give to them? What would that be?
I would definitely let them know the military is not for everybody. But if you're set on it, go in there and do it. Don't be hard-headed. Just learn. Accept your orders. Take your orders and do what you're told. And just enjoy it.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. It's a whole different thing.
And be willing to learn.
Yep.
You said.
You have got to be willing to learn. And then excel. Learn from everything. Excel. And just try to be better than the other people. And also help them. You know, your other soldiers are next to you, left and right. Be the one that stands out. Do the right thing.
Nearly 22 years of halfway around the world, how many times? And what you experienced and what you saw and the people that you met and the men that you led.
Yeah, especially coming from, you know, small town Esterville, you went and a few points I never put out. On my first tour to Korea, I actually met up with two other Esterville people that we were close to graduating with.
You did.
Matt Orger and Scott Ware.
That's amazing.
Yep. All in Camp Casey, Camp Hovey, Korea.
Wow. Well, we appreciate you taken the time to tell these stories, for you to sit and tell us this information and relive this, that, I mean, that alone takes a great deal of courage, and we're indebted to you for your service to the United States. And
thank you. You know, I you know, I'm glad I can get the story out there. You know, finally, it's been a while. I wanted to tell it. It was just a matter of being ready to tell it, I guess. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, thank you.